This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by AppPro International Incorporated, a leading developer of innovative supercomputing solutions uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets. www.appro.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Xeon Phi, Exascale, and Networking Fabrics.
Insights from Intel Developer Forum.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for September 14, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael, and I'm glad to say that I've got company here.
Yeah, we've got Chris Willard there, the chief research officer at Intersect 360. He joins us today. He's going to talk a little bit about the Intel Developer Forum. He was there in person, and he's going to give us a little bit of a wrap-up. So, Chris, good morning to you, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Michael and Addison. Happy to be here.
So, there was actually quite a bit of HPC-related content at the forum this past week. And one of the things they talked about was, of course, the new Xeon Phi, the thing that seems like Intel's been talking about for, it seems like, 10 years now. But, we're just a few months away from an official launch of the Knights Corner, the first one. But they did have a session or two on that. Could you kind of give us a little idea of what was being presented there at the forum?
Yeah, they had what I feel is one of the stronger HPC tracks that they've had at IDF for some time. They started off with a discussion about the Phi processor, overview from folks at Intel, and then a discussion from Jay Watteau at TAC. And the big sort of positioning message was that Phi is not an accelerator but a coprocessor, which means that more complex work can be done on the coprocessor than would be done on a generic accelerator, up to including running entire programs on the Phi product and allowing a greater degree of mixing and matching performance features between the host and the coprocessor.
You know, that's an interesting insight, Chris, and I guess we've heard them kind of say this before. I wonder to what extent this is just a question of nomenclature, the idea that this is a coprocessor, not an accelerator, and what's the real difference between those?
I think the real difference is that you can run complete programs, all the logic that you would expect in a regular CPU can be run on the coprocessor. Not necessarily fast. There's a difference between doing something and doing it well or doing it quickly. But you have that capability. And particularly in cases where a lot of the performance is dependent upon communications between the two components in a accelerated application, the host and the slave, if you will. Sometimes it makes more sense just to run code slowly on the coprocessor or the slave than it is to send messages back and forth between the two components to get all the work done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of the interesting part of what they've been talking about. They're basically talking about using the coprocessor and CPU as sort of peer-to-peer chips rather than one is the slave as it normally is done with the coprocessor. I think the nomenclature is a little bit messed up here. I mean, coprocessors are typically not things that you can run applications on. They're like the old-time x87 floating-point coprocessor. You couldn't run programs there. You could just do floating-point stuff. So I think it's going to be a little confusing. But if they talk about it in terms of peer-to-peer chips and being able to sort of share one as the host and the other as the slave, and they can go back and forth and have that flexibility, that's an interesting proposition, I think.
Or the ClearSpeed product, for example, I thought of as a coprocessor.
Yeah.
But when they're talking about running a complete application, they're not going so far as to suggest that you can run a kernel there, right? It's just the application, the operating system still resident on the main compute portion, the host portion.
I would assume that to be the case, but that wasn't specifically stated.
Although, you know, I've heard them talk about that, that you can actually, you know, run an OS shell out on that. I mean, it basically is an x86 with just a whole bunch of slower cores. But from my understanding is you could do something like an OS, I think.
Well, shell is still not the same as a kernel, right?
Right. I mean, you need sort of the memory management hardware, that sort of thing, and the interrupt stuff. So maybe that's not there. But it almost sounds like if they're not in that direction, they're heading in that direction. If they really are going to be true peers, you basically do have to be able to run some sort of OS on each side of it if you're going to treat it that way. But I think it's just sort of interesting that they're trying to differentiate themselves a lot from the way GPUs are done, which are, I guess, what you call pure accelerators, and where the CPU host is always driving that. There's no way for the GPU necessarily to drive it the other direction. And I guess they talked about some, like you said, Jay talked about some of the application work there. Can you, besides the stuff going on at TAC, were there other applications that people were talking about for the early versions of the PHY?
There were a number of applications mentioned in the sessions. Some of them were fairly standard. A few of them got become more interesting in areas like simulation of surgery, with the concept of when a surgery is planned before they actually begin the procedure. They run a simulation to see how it's going to work and identify problem areas.
I've seen that as an application area before. It's a good idea. The idea is to get to faster surgeries. And although you don't like the idea of your surgeon rushing or anything, the fact of the matter is, once they open you up, you'd like them to get you closed up again as quickly as possible.
Yes. Yeah, and so I've been told by surgeons that no human body is the same. When someone opens you up, they really, really aren't exactly sure what they're going to find. Things can be a little bit different from or in different places than expected. Another one was a cancer or a genomic atlas, codenamed TCGA, which is essentially an effort to make a complete genome map of all the cancers in the world, and then allow medical people to compare patients' cancers with the genome map, identify it as specifically as possible, and then customize treatment for the particular cancer based on the genomic coding.
So speaking of Xeon 5, this is the chip they're promoting that's going to be sort of the basis of Intel's sort of exascale platform going forward. And there actually was, it sounded like a whole subtrack on exascale there where they talked about different aspects of it. Can you tell us about that, Chris?
One of the interesting things is that all of the HPC presentations were focused on exascale, in the sense of what do we need to do to move towards exascale? How is a particular product or product strategy going to get us to exascale? Certainly, they did not claim to have all the answers, but I thought it was interesting that they we're taking exascale very seriously, and we're had what seems to be a very tight focus on getting there, which after all is one of the major reasons for setting these goals, is to get people focused on developing next generation technology. So in that to that extent, the exascale process is working. Where it came out most definitely was in their networking area, and they talked about use of InfiniBand in HPC. They made a couple of points right off that were interesting. One was that their InfiniBand effort is very tightly focused on HPC. Another one was, in their words, is that they are working to get the network as close as possible to the processor. I had a little bit of discussion with them and asked them how close that meant, and they really didn't want to say any more than that. But it is interesting that in my view, as you look at computer architectures in general, you essentially have cores with fixed performance and Moore's law driving you to put more cores on a single chip. The next most important thing to do to develop this architecture is to develop better and more effective interconnects within the chip between these cores. And whether or not that's why Intel purchased Cray and purchased QLogic, I don't know. But if I had to put money down, that's one place I would.
This is something we've talked about, you know, on the podcast before, and you know, with other people who've asked us about what's Intel doing with some of these acquisitions. They certainly do talk about exascale quite a bit, and Intel is certainly lining up to be a primary player in the exascale competition in the exascale time frame. Also, you know, related to that, going back to Xeon Phi for a second, when they're talking about the differences between coprocessor and accelerator, it really seems like they're ramping up their messaging a little bit to compete with NVIDIA a little more directly. We're starting to see some direct shots across the bow.
I think so. I think that certainly the coprocessor is a product positioning statement as much as anything. Attack said that they programmed the Phi in C, C++, and Fortran, use OpenMP and MPI on it. So that I think the other area, as we've said before, and I'm sure you've said on the podcast before, is that the big competition in the long run is going to be how easy each product is to program. And we can add to that, code portability may become an issue as well over the long term.
So yeah, this is something Intel has really been touting for a while, the differentiation between their programming model, which uses more standard MPI and OpenMP types frameworks than sort of CUDA and some of the other GPU programming in general that's being done on that side. So it's something they're trying to differentiate. But you know, just coming back to networking, to me, that's almost the real differentiation that Intel is starting to drive against sort of the other chip makers now. They've got all of these networking technologies now that they've accumulated, and it looks like they're starting to do something with. I mean, you talked about InfiniBand and Cray, and I guess they talked about those a little bit there. I mean, it sounds like they're sort of part of the same group now, right, at Intel?
They said that the Cray group and the QLogic group have been merged.
That's very interesting because you think, I mean, Cray, you would think Cray, whatever that IP was, that was going to be basically the origin of their exascale networking platform, and InfiniBand would be more of the HPC cluster side of it. But it sounds like they're working towards maybe unifying those in some fashion, or at least unifying the IP or the teams together.
Yeah, the only comment they made about the integration was that the value or the greatest value from the Cray team was the experience they had in working in very high performance environments and looking at next generation networking and scalability issues. So they really appreciated the 30 years of experience or so that they were bringing in with the Cray team. And that was a very quick comment and no real explanation about how the two groups were being integrated.
Well, I think actually we're going to get to that a little bit. I got a little bit of a more complete briefing on that from Raj Hazar. Let's take a quick break and come back and sort of expand upon sort of their networking strategy.
APRO is a leading developer of innovative supercomputing solutions uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets, focusing on medium to large-scale deployments where lower total cost of ownership is essential. APRO accelerates technical applications and business results through outstanding price per performance, fast time-to-market solutions based on the latest open standards technologies, innovative cluster tools, and management software packaged with HPC professional services and support. APRO supercomputing solutions enable scientists and engineers in academia, government, and industry to use highly technical, compute-intensive applications for scientific research discovery, data modeling, engineering simulations, and seismic visualization. APRO's headquarters is located in Milpitas, California, with offices in Korea and Houston, Texas.
Well, we've been talking about IDF and some of the networking developments there, and we're getting into how some of these networking futures might be integrated in the future. And Chris gave us an update from IDF, but Michael, you also got a briefing from Raj Hazra at Intel.
Right. He's, of course, the head of the technical computing group there, and he's actually being tasked to develop this new architecture across the groups, not just for HPC, but across sort of all the server domains to actually integrate the interconnect adapters basically on chip. I mean, this is something that's not going to happen tomorrow. There's no products out there, but the vision here is that they're going to bring the NICs onto the chip just as another component, just like they brought, you know, memory controllers on and you know, the floating point processors and all those things onto the chip. They're looking to bring the NICs onto the chip. So now they have those three technologies they can use to integrate that NIC. I mean, they've got, of course, they've got InfiniBand from QLogic. They've got the Cray interconnect technology from that company. And they've also got some of the Fulcrum. Now, the Fulcrum stuff is Ethernet, and that was on the switch side, but they've got the Ethernet IP to work with. So they can actually build, presumably, three different technologies, three different types of NICs across their server CPU or coprocessor line, and they could mix and match. I mean, Raj didn't go in on how this was going to be implemented going down the line, whether they'd combine some of this technology, they'd combine different protocols or different NICs. But the clear message was they're going in this direction. They don't think that external discrete network interface cards are the way to go, especially if they want to get to something like exascale, but even for things like cloud computing, the more generic type of cloud computing where there's where the compute has gotten so out of whack with sort of the bandwidth and the latency on the migration will fix basically a lot of those problems. So Raj is in charge of doing that, and he didn't describe anything much in detail product-wise, but if they get halfway there in the next few years, it's going to be a very interesting development. It's going to, I think, could have sort of shake up the industry in a lot of different ways, because basically they're going to compete against all the NIC vendors out there. Which
right, this is something we've conjectured on before as a possible result of some of these acquisitions, and, right. And we see now Raj giving a nod that might be the direction this is going in. I didn't really expect to see Intel competing hard in the switch business, but if they evolve their integrated I/O stack that they already debuted with this generation of Xeon to the point where really NIC functionality is level, out the NIC becomes an integrated part of the chip.
It does, and in fact, although I didn't write about this in the article that I wrote up this week on this, they're actually going to provide an end-to-end solution. So they have the switches now for InfiniBand through QLogic, but they're going to build the switching product lines as well to do the whole thing. So there'll be the integrated NICs on the chip, and then they'll have the switches as well, so that you'll be able to basically go to Intel and say you can get all the networking from them as well. So it's going to be a real change for them, and I think some formidable competition if they can pull this off from the existing switch and NIC vendors.
Well, see, that's where I think it's going to start getting confusing, right, is when you get out to the switch level. The NIC I can see, but does that mean they actually want to be the clustering switch provider? And if so, what does that mean with regards to system sales? If I buy a cluster from HP or IBM or Dell, is that switch now coming from Intel as well as one of the components? How much comes from them versus everybody else? Where does it place Intel relative to Cisco in the market, let alone Mellanox, to look at how that competition plays out?
Well, it puts them in the competitor position. I mean, it sounds like if they want to have this end-to-end solution, they're going to compete against, you know, switch vendors large and small, the Ciscos, Mellanox, and everybody else. Again, that's down the road. They only have a certain amount of switching today, but from what Raj said, that's the direction they're heading. They want to do that end-to-end capability. So
certainly a lot of competitive dynamics with Intel in the processor wars, in exascale, and networking fabrics, all stuff that we're going to keep watching.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to get a load of this certainly on the upcoming conference at SC. We'll probably find out more information about this. But yeah, some very interesting developments, and definitely something we're going to be covering over the next few months and years.
Well, and lots of conferences coming up. We've got HPC on Wall Street this week. I won't be there. I'll be at the SNIA Big Data Summit in Santa Clara. After that, there's ISC Cloud in Mannheim. I will be at that one. A couple more in October as we start ramping up towards supercomputing.
Yeah, big conference season. We'll have reps at all those, and we'll definitely see everybody there at SC. All right. Until then, Addison and Chris, thanks so much for the show. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Great.
Thanks, Michael.
It's been a pleasure.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by APRO International Incorporated, leading developers of innovative supercomputing solutions, uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets. www.apro.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.